Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of Christ, the Husband's Role Model. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Husbands, love your wives. Love them as Christ loved the church. How did Christ demonstrate his love for the church? Well, there were several things that Jesus did. The first would be the incarnation, the Son of God becoming a man. He left everything behind. He laid aside his prerogatives as God. And we are to love our wives in this way, men. Our wives are to be our priority. Is that the way we think of our wives today, as a priority? I think in many ways, again, we let the cultural influences come in. You know, we talked some in our last study about the attitudes amongst the Greeks, the Romans, and the Jews toward women, and the ancient world in general, and some of the cultures even today. And, you know, it's interesting when you get sort of a feel for the attitude toward women in those cultures, you realize that those same attitudes were brought over into our experience as a nation, as a culture. Those attitudes of, you know, yeah, the wife is fine, and, you know, she's basically there to meet my needs sort of a thing. And, you know, that has been an attitude that has been fairly prevalent in our culture. But biblically speaking, our wives are to be a priority. Which means practically, we have to let go of certain things. We have to let go of our families to a large degree. For a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. I can't tell you how many times I've seen marital problems that are born out of meddling in-laws. But the reason the in-laws are able to meddle is because one of the two persons in the marriage refuses to leave and cleave. But we have to let go of certain things. The wife has to become a priority. Not only family, but we have to let go of friends sometimes, certain friends. Relationships change when we get married. We have to understand that. And if we fail to understand that, that is going to create some serious difficulty in the relationship. And so we have to leave things behind. Our wives have to become a priority just as Jesus left everything behind for the priority of the church. So we've got to let go of family. We've got to let go of friends. And we've got to let go of childish pursuits. There comes a point when you just have to put those kinds of things behind you. See, those are the things that are implied here in loving our wives as Christ loved the church. Secondly, Christ loved the church by serving the church. Jesus became a servant. You remember he was found on one occasion washing the disciples' feet. And here's a question, men, that we must ask ourselves. Do we serve our wives, or do we look at them as our servants? Again, the culture has had that picture of the woman as, you know, more of the servant. The man, you know, the classical, stereotypical picture of the chauvinist man sitting back in his easy chair with his feet propped up and his cigar and his newspaper, and you know, the wife is waiting on him hand and foot and so forth. That's a bit of a caricature, but there's a lot of reality behind that. But you see, when we come to Christ, we get a whole new role model. Maybe that's what you grew up with. Maybe that's what it looked like in your home. Maybe that's the way your dad treated your mother. And so you've just assumed that behavior. You've just brought it into your own marital experience, but it's killing your marriage. You need a radical readjustment of your understanding of your relationship with your wife. That's not the biblical picture. That's the picture of the world. That's what it looks like from the world standpoint. But we as husbands, we are to serve our wives. It's a mutual thing. My wife is... If I could say anything, well, I could say hundreds of things about her, but, you know, she is really a servant. She really is. And I can't say that I've been the best servant to her over the years, but I know that as we've gone on in marriage, this is something that the Lord has always been sort of chipping away at me with. Just that understanding that I need to be a servant to her. And I thank God, her, you know, sort of her natural inclination just to get out there and serve. You know, making meals to her is, you know, that's a pleasure. That's a joy. She loves to do it. I appreciate that because I like to eat them. But how do I reciprocate? What can I do that she really likes? Well, one thing that she really appreciates is when I just voluntarily get up and do the dishes without her having to nag me to do it. You know, sometimes it's just really basic, simple stuff. But it's the attitude of a servant. Jesus showed us that we are to be servants. Another thing that Jesus did in demonstrating his love for the church is that he took our burdens upon himself. He took our burdens upon himself. And men, I think the way this would translate to us is, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we compassionate toward our wives? Are we sensitive to them? Now, if you've been married for a while, you know that your wife needs you to be sensitive. It's not always easy to figure out our wives. And oftentimes, they say something, but they really mean something else. So it takes a certain amount of sensitivity and attentiveness and compassion to, you know, really listen and figure out just what is going on here so we can help them through some of those struggles, some of those difficulties. Women often think that they are homely, or they think they're overweight, or, you know, they a lot of times they just have this image of themselves that's just, it's not real, but it's a condemning, you know, insecure kind of a thing. And I found that just making a habit of telling my wife she's beautiful and loving her and tell her I love her, that's helped her with some of that. And I could see over the years how much she's grown and changed. And I think maybe partially it has something to do with just, you know, learning to be sensitive. Now, listen, guys, listen to the word, learning to be sensitive. This doesn't come natural for us, right? This is stuff we have to learn. It's stuff we have to work at. And some have to work at it harder than others. But these are the things that are part of this picture, that we would be compassionate toward our wives, that we would be sensitive. Paul goes on and he says that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. By nature, I must confess, I am more of a taker than a giver. That is my nature. It's something that by the grace of God through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's something that the Lord pointed out to me many years ago. So he's been, again, you know, he's been working on me in that area. But to follow Christ's example, I must become a giver. It's easy to take. It's not as easy to give. Some people have a sort of a natural bent toward that. But in my experience, it hasn't been that many. But Jesus gave himself. He gave himself. He gave his life away for others. And this is something, of course, that applies not just in marriage, but it applies across the board for us as Christians, because Christ is our example, not just in our marriages, but these are also principles that we need to develop just to live by. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus set the example for us there. But what are we talking about practically when we're talking about giving? Well, again, very practically, in giving ourselves, we need to give of our time. Selfishness is something that will ruin a marriage, and especially in regard to time. If I want all my time for myself and to do the things that I like to do, that is going to create a very difficult atmosphere in my marriage. So I need to learn to do things and to go places that my wife enjoys or desires, and not to have everything always revolving around me. And again, it's easy to do that. We're going to go on a vacation. And, well, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Hawaii. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to surf, and you're going to take care of the kids. How's that sound for a vacation? It never sounded all that great to my wife. But isn't that kind of the way we do things so often? You know, if I'm planning a vacation, if you're planning a vacation as a man, how many of you men, honestly, how many of you in planning a vacation have really sat down and thought, now, what would my wife like to do for this vacation? We just don't tend to think that way. Now, I'm kind of going back in time. I'm thinking about the way I behaved when I was younger. But, you know, I remember back when we were young, you know, every day off, we had a routine. Now, as I mentioned to you before, my whole obsession in life before I met the Lord, and even to some extent afterward, was surfing. I grew up in the surf culture and all of that. So every day off was a surf trip. As far as she was concerned, that got old really quick. Now, you know, she told me she always wanted to marry a surfer, but she didn't realize what that implied. So I think if she had to do it again, she might think twice about that. So, you know, we would just go on these, basically on these surf trips. And that was every day off. And if one day she twisted my arm and we had to go do something that she wanted to do, I would pretty much just pout the whole day. Because she wanted to do things like go shopping, go walk around the mall, go look at model homes, things that I just didn't see the value in any of that. But I will say, and I think Cheryl will testify, I have changed. Now my idea of a day off is taking a long walk with my wife and going places that she would like to go. Now, the interesting thing, guys, and for you younger guys, I'll let you know, after a while, they don't even really like to go to the mall that much anymore. That's what's happened with my wife. But it's doing things. It's going places. It's being sensitive to the other person. Jesus gave himself. We are to give time. We are to give attention. We are to give attention. You know, it's easy to be with somebody but not pay attention to them. It's easy to be with them physically but not to be with them mentally. It's easy to be sitting in the same room, but to be somewhere else in your thinking process and basically to ignore the other person. A few weeks ago when I returned from Europe, Cheryl and I, one of our other favorite things to do is to go have coffee together. And so we got to our little favorite coffee place and we sat down. And right when we sat down, I made the mistake of picking up the newspaper and... because I hadn't seen a newspaper in 3.5 weeks. And I started to read it, and as I was reading it, it was just like a sense, a cold sense sort of began to permeate the atmosphere. And I glanced over and I saw these eyes looking at me, and I knew immediately that I had done the wrong thing. So I folded up that paper, put it down, and said, "Yes, dear, what do you want to talk about today?" It's so important to give attention to one another. As you have probably heard, one of the most vitally important ingredients in a marriage is communication. You have to be able to communicate. And that's where giving attention is so important. We have to communicate, and sometimes we just have to listen. And I find sometimes with my wife, all she really needs me to do is just listen to her. I don't even have to have an answer necessarily. I just need to hear her out. I just need to hear how she feels. Communicating, giving attention. Jesus gave himself entirely, and we are to give all. Christ gave his lives. We have got to get to a place as Christian men in the 21st century of realizing that marriage is not just some aside. It's not just something I happen to do with my life. This is a main portion of life from God's standpoint. And how you conduct yourself as a husband and as a father, these are the things that are going to be weighed out in the last day, much more so than I think a lot of times we realize. There have been many times, even within the church, where the attitude has been a negligence toward the wife and the children because we're serving God. And of course, as we serve God, there are sacrifices to be made. But it all has to be kept in the context of husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church. And so, We've got to see this, and I think sometimes what happens is we lose sight of some of these more simple aspects of life. We lose sight of the importance of them in God's eyes. But, you know, listen, your wife, your family, your marriage is infinitely more important than your job. Do you realize that? Because at the end, when you stand before the Lord, he's not going to ask you what position you held in your company. He's not going to ask you how much money you made a year. He's not going to ask you how many houses you owned, or he's not going to ask you about your wealth. He's not going to ask you questions about that, because that stuff, to a large degree, doesn't matter. But sadly, those are the things that so often are being emphasized in the life and in the mind of a man to the neglect of the things that really matter. What really matters is your relationship with your wife, the way you treat her, your attitude toward her. And as I said, we talk about the attack on marriage. And yes, there is an attack on marriage. As we mentioned, marriage as an institution is being attacked. But the greater problems are right under our own roofs. And to some degree, it's because we've allowed problems to fester under our own roofs that certain people have felt a liberty to just come out and attack marriage entirely. And oftentimes you hear the cry from the other side, when we are talking about the sanctity of marriage, the importance of marriage, you hear the cry, well, you haven't seemed to think it was so important in the past. Why are there so many divorces? We have to see these things for the vitally important things that they are. God created the marital relationship, that he might bring a family into existence, that he might lay the foundation for all society. And we are keepers, especially as Christian people, we are keepers of these things. Not simply in the institutional sense, but we're, more importantly, we're keepers of them on the very personal level of my own relationship with my wife as her husband. And so Christ gave himself. He gave all of himself. He gave his life, and we are to give our lives as well. We're to give ourselves to our wives completely. You cannot give your life for your wife and share it with another woman, because in doing that, you're not really giving yourself for your wife. You're trying to split yourself. And this is splitting families, and it's destroying marriages. And again, I emphasize, these are the weighty things that God will take into account on the final day. This is not a suggestion. This is not just a good piece of advice if you want to have a pleasant experience in your marriage. This isn't a platitude. This is God's word to us men, and this is what we will be accountable for on the day of judgment. Did we love our wives? Did we love them as Christ loved the church? And in closing, men, in order to really love our wives as God calls us to, we have got to have a right relationship with him. Because it's challenging. It's not easy. Because my flesh, my sinful nature, bucks against so many of these things. And it's only by submitting to God and that work of the Spirit, chiseling away at these attitudes and things like that, that we're able to become those men. But I've got to be committed. I've got to be committed to the Lord. And I would venture to say that if your marriage is on the rocks, that, man, you've got to look at yourself in the mirror and you've got to ask yourself this question: where am I at with the Lord? And if there is there in your heart that indifference, if there is that tendency toward neglect, if there's that unforgiveness or that bitterness or that abusive language or abusive behavior, or if there's infidelity, all these things are indicative of a heart that is not where it ought to be with the Lord. And so we can't love our wives as Christ loved the church unless we're right with him. Where's your heart with the Lord? your relationship with your wife will give you some indication as to where your heart is with God.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Loving Our Wives as Ourselves. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Christ, the Husband's Role Model. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0011. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.